Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Dave Jackson of the School of Podcasting. Hello, David.
Oh, Andy. Great to be here, buddy.
Coming in loud and clear over the pond. Which part of America are you based in?
I'm actually in Cleveland, Ohio.
Which means absolutely nothing to me. It's somewhere to the west.
Yeah, it's the East Coast, kind of. Okay. Closer to New York than California.
Now, Dave, I was checking just before we started the recording. I don't think I have interviewed you before for the Internet Marketing Podcast. I'll probably get loads of phone calls now coming in saying, yes, you did. It was episode number whatever it was. But I think I did interview for one of my other podcasts. But that was quite a while ago. And I just wanted to have a bit of a catch up about where you think podcasting is these days. I don't know. There was a lot of hype in the early days. I mean, was it justified in your opinion?
Yeah, the biggest phrase I hated to hear when I listened back, you know, Adam Curry was one of the guys that helped develop podcasting.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, hey, we're all going to quit our day jobs. And I'm like, oh, man, if I could take one phrase out of that whole area, because we're all like, oh, hey, you know, this is going to be great. And I think it was the potential of podcasting when we went, wow, this is really cool. I can reach a global audience. Mm. And but looking back, it was like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. You know, this is going to be great. And which it has slowly happened, but there wasn't any proof. There was nobody saying, hey, look at this guy. He's got, you know, 2 million downloads. He's making X amount of money. We all just went, hey, because we can reach a global audience and because there's no, you know, FCC here in the States, you can say anything. And it was, you know, and people are going to sponsor us because we've got our niche. We kind of understood where it was going. Mm. The problem was, I don't think we had any idea how incredibly slow it was going to get, going to get there. So I think it was, you know, justified in the fact that we all saw its potential. But on the other hand, I just don't think, I mean, even today, I still, you know, it's 9 years later and I'll be talking about podcasting to somebody. You know, you still get occasionally they'll go, look, I don't want to sound stupid or anything. And you're like, yeah, and they go, what's a podcast? So we still have that person that is new.
Yeah. It feels, I don't know, I just get this feeling that podcasting has got a bit of a second wind recently. Is it just me?
Yeah, it's well, it's kind of funny because it's had a second, a third, a fourth wind. About every, I would say about every 2 to 3 years, somebody comes out and announces that podcasting is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all the podcasters come out of the woodwork and say, no, it's not. But the biggie that really turned the boat around, and we're going to have another wave here in about 3 or 4 months, is when the podcast app, because one of the waves was when iTunes came out, you know, that really got people kind of on board, or at least another wave of people.
Yeah.
And when Apple released the podcast app, that was another one, because more and more people were like, what is this podcasting thing? And so it also made it more mobile. And that was the other thing. If we go back to, you know, 2006, 2007, you had your iPod that you had to plug in a cable and synchronize to iTunes. And if you're out in your car, you know, and you ran out of podcasts, you're like, oh, I got to wait till I get home to synchronize. Well, now with smartphones, you can basically, you know, just drive across wherever and download more and more podcasts.
Yeah.
Then you have apps like Stitcher now where you don't even have to download the show. It'll just stream right there.
Yes.
So there's more and more technology that's coming into the space. And I know Rob Walsh, who's the vice president of podcast relations, said, I think the last time I heard it was like 64% of downloads now are coming from mobile. So yeah. it's really given it quite a shot in the arm. And the thing that's coming in the future here is the next release of iOS for Macintosh, which of course is also on iPads and iPhones, will have that podcast app in the software. You won't have to download it, install it. Not that that's a huge hurdle, but nonetheless, it's just going to be there. And more importantly, you won't be able to delete it. So I think more and more people are just going to have that thing show up and go, well, what's this? I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah, what does this do?
Yeah, and I think we're going to have another rush of people, you know, listening to their first podcast here in the next few months.
It's interesting how the tech, because in my mind, podcasting, I don't know, was it 2005? The very first people were, you started in 2005, didn't you, Dave?
Yeah, it's actually at the very end of 2004. Is
2004,
when,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like September 2004, I think, is when most people say it was, quote, born. Well, I jumped in 2005.
Because I always felt from the early days that the thing that was podcasting was brilliant, but the thing that was holding it back was the tech and the difficulty in explaining it to people. And I felt there were difficulties in consumption. I felt that you had to be a bit of a geek to actually know how to consume a podcast. I really get this feeling that the tech is slowly catching up now. I think you're right. I think one of the big thrusts was when we were able to cut the cord between the listening device and the computer. I mean, you mentioned about mobile. Is it over 60% now is mobile listening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most of these mobile apps now, you know, especially the non-Mac ones, you don't have to link to the computer. You can just grab them on the fly. Now we have this latest thing, the podcasting app. So you think that's going to have a big impact, do you, on sort of a built-in podcasting app in the sort of Mac operating system?
Yeah, and I'm just basing that on when iTunes came out. I mean, before iTunes, it was impossible. And that's where only geeky people really got into podcasting. But when iTunes came along, it made it a little easier. They came up with the one button subscribe, which made things easier. So I'm basing it on that here again, it's, you're getting people in that. And then, you know, I'm reading more and more with applications like Stitcher now are in cars, and I keep hearing more and more models are being added to that. And you've got the Apple, I forget the name of it. It's like Apple Car or Apple Auto or something that's coming in the future. So more and more, it's just taking on more and more platforms. And you're seeing even now devices, I cannot remember the name of it, but there's a new powered speaker that has the Stitcher app built into it.
Really?
So it must be some sort of Wi-Fi thing. So it's almost like a smartphone without the phone. And it's just made for streaming Pandora and Stitcher. And it's this little cone of a speaker.
Yeah.
And it even has kind of a Siri function to it where you can hold down a button and say, play the such and such song, and it will do it.
Really?
So I was
Stitcher,
like,
find me a podcast on underpants.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me do that for you, Andy. Hang on one moment. Oh, I found four. I'll play the first one.
So again, I think consumption is going to get easier and easier. And the great thing is more people start to consume podcasts, then the developers say, wow, there's actually an audience over there. So you're starting to see more and more services come available. Now there are more and more people that are offering, I will edit your podcast, or there are services like Auphonic, which will clean up your podcast and post it on a bazillion different websites for you. So as the audience come, the services come. As the services come, then there's more competition, which means better services. So it's just a slow process. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I want all the toys. I want all the audience here right now, doggone it. But it's fun. I'm still an evangelist. It's fun when you find that person that doesn't know anything about podcasting. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you interested in? And they say, you know, Frisbee golf. And you're like, hold on a second. And you Google it and you're like, yep, here's a Frisbee golf podcast. There you go. And off they go.
Just a quick mention about Stitcher, because it took me a while to get into Stitcher, and I for months, about a year ago, I was going around saying to people who asked me about podcasting, I was saying, as soon as, not in a northern voice, but I'll say it in a northern voice, as soon as someone comes up with an app that makes listening to podcasts like turning on the radio, they'll be rich, not realizing that Stitcher had kind of already done it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really, that's the weird one. Google has just ignored podcasting, so they're really huge on, you know, the Android side, because there really weren't that many apps for that. There's Beyond Pod, which is a decent app. It's the good news is with that particular app, it has so many different functions that you can really customize how it downloads and streams and plays, but it's a little little too much of a learning curve for some people. So Stitcher came along and it helps you discover podcasts and rate and all those other fun things that you can do with podcasts.
It kind of molds itself to your interest, doesn't it? Because it lets you sort of thumbs up or thumbs down what it's feeding you.
Yeah. So it's a great way to discover podcasts because you'll listen to one and give it a thumbs up. And it's like, oh, well, if you like this,
you'll probably
check
this.
These out. Yeah.
Now, you've been teaching people how to podcast since, I think, 2005. Was that right, 2005? Or was it just 2005? Yep. Have you seen a shift or any sort of emerging patterns in the kind of people using podcasting?
Yeah, I mean, in the very beginning, you know, again, 2004, 2005, it was so hard to consume a podcast that the only people that were trying to make them were the ultimate geeks. So this is where the Leo Laportes and the This Week in Tech and all the techie people came on, and Leo was one of the people that, I don't know how many years ago, that said podcasting is dead. And it's not that podcasting is dead. It's that all the geeks had already come on board and his audience growth was not growing at the same trajectory that it was in the past. So he was kind of like, hey, things are slowing down. So, you know, the geeks came on first, and a lot of people forget this one. There for a while, language podcasts were huge, you know, learn French, learn Spanish, learn whatever, German. Those took off for a while, and which actually led to one of the first times where people started making money with a podcast. You would have lessons free to learn a language, and oh, by the way, take our course over here to learn even more. And then with the a couple of years ago, I think he's been doing it now, Mark Maron is a comedian here in the States, and he did a does a podcast called WTF, and this was a comedian.
What does that sound for, Dave?
What the frick. And he said here was a guy who literally couldn't get a job as a comedian, and his manager was saying.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but he was on some sort of normal radio station that was political, and he got let go, and he just started a podcast basically in his garage, and was lucky enough, he'd been in comedy so long that he had a lot of really famous people as friends and started interviewing them, and it just took off. And then here again, as soon as somebody has success with it, everybody takes that formula thinking they can recreate that success. And so now every single comedian has a podcast, and it's kind of funny because after a while all the podcasts are comedians interviewing other comedians, and after a while you're like, oh, here's, you know, Doug Stonehope or whatever his name is again, or whatever, and they're all interviewing each other. So that was a big wave. And then there's a guy named John Lee Dumas. Super nice guy, incredibly disciplined, and incredibly just, he's an intense guy. If you ever meet him, he's exactly the way he sounds on his podcast. And he launched Entrepreneurs on Fire. And the interesting thing is John started his podcast and did something that nobody else had done, which was he did a daily show. Why? Because he wanted to listen to a show every single day. And he said, well, I'm sure if there are people like me, you know, there's got to be other people that want a show every single day. And he creates a show every single day. Now, he doesn't do it every day. He does it on Monday and records whatever, 7 shows. So he was in the army and has a very military kind of background where he's very disciplined and lines things up. And he was just in Forbes magazine and he's slotted to make $2 million this year. Now, he's not doing that just from the podcast, although he makes a lot of money from advertising, but he's also leveraging his audience, which is really where you make the podcast. You earn their like and trust from your podcast. And then in most cases, you're selling a service or a book, or in John's case, he's selling everything. He's selling classes on webinars. He's selling classes on how to make a podcast. And so, which is great. I love when I see somebody have just huge amounts of success. What's somewhat disappointing, and this is where I say in about 7 months, we're going to have another wave of podcasting is dead, because a lot of people are doing exactly what he does. They're going to do a daily show. They're going to interview entrepreneurs about their story, about how they failed and how they overcame it and how they're going on. But the problem is they're not John Lee Dumas. I mean, I can put on some suits and play the guitar and get four guys. I'm not going to be the Beatles. You know, you got to have the talent. And the other thing about if we go to the Beatles, those guys are pretty unique. You know, and so is John Lee Dumas. And you're not going to out John Lee Dumas doing John Lee Dumas. So I tell people, embrace your own originality and your history and your experience and make something very unique. I'm also a musician. So when I look back at people like, and I'm old. So when I look back at people like Jimi Hendrix, here's a guy who took the blues and he took psychedelic music and he took rock and merged it into his own thing that, you know, if you hear a Jimi Hendrix song, it's instantly sounds like Jimi Hendrix. And unfortunately, I think a lot of podcasters now are finding somebody who is having success and they try to really, and it's not even imitation, they just try to flat out rip off their show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work because they don't have the talent in some cases, they don't have the discipline. And so that's really the, right now we're in a surge of lots and lots and lots of entrepreneurs interviewing other entrepreneurs about, you know, making money online. So it's kind of interesting. So I'm waiting for things like actors would be great. Anybody that really wants an audience, you know, and there are businesses that are using it to, you know, better connect with their potential customers. You know, there's all sorts of great uses for that. And I see people that are using it to be seen as an expert. And, you know, you have the Pat Flynn's of the world. Pat Flynn is another guy. He's an internet marketer that is having great success with it. So, but so it's shifted. We started off with really incredibly, you know, technique people. And it's also, that's the other thing has changed. More and more services are making it easier to create a podcast. You know, now you can, I'm talking into a microphone. It's an ATR 2100. I think it was $40 when I bought it, and it plugs in directly via USB. So you plug it into your computer, you hit record and off you go.
Sounds good. You mentioned in there, Dave, about you sort of using podcasting to leverage your existing business and therefore make it more successful. Do you still get people coming to you and saying, Dave, how do I make money directly from my podcast? And if you do, what do you say to them?
Well, I usually tell them it can be done, but most people don't make money from the actual sale of the, let's say it's an MP3 file. The people that do that have been doing it for years. Mark Maron is one. He sells his back catalog because he has like, whatever, 400 shows or something like that. So there are a few people that have a large back catalog. There's a comedy podcast called Keith and the Girl. I think they're up to 1,000 episodes now because they do it for 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And they will sell their back catalog. But in most cases, most people are not making money directly selling the actual content. And I usually recommend people don't do that when they start out, because a lot of people forget when you first start out, you don't have an audience. So when you start out and you're making a, let's say you're making a free episode and one for people to pay for, well, if you don't have an audience, you're doing double the work for no pay. And that usually leads to burnout.
Yeah.
And so I always say, you know, make the best content you can that has people going, oh, I have to tell my friend about this. I can't believe I found this podcast, and make that wow kind of content, grow your audience. And then if you want to make money directly from the sale of the MP3 file, most people are just doing it with a company like Libsyn, which is libsyn.com. They have a system where you can sell your back catalog, or of course there's a bazillion different, you know, WordPress plugins and things like that to allow you to sell downloads. And again, there's more companies coming up every day that allow you to sell digital stuff. So, but usually it's, you earn the trust. You're seen as a trusted friend, for lack of a better phrase, when you come out with great content that helps your audience, or that inspires them, or it educates them. I always say it typically moves people in one way or another, whether it's, you know, laugh, cry, think, groan, something of that nature. I always tell people, you know, whatever you're watching on the the television or whatever you're listening to on the radio, when you're done with that, ask yourself, why do I watch this show? Mm. And usually you'll find out that it's some sort of way that you've been moved, whether I watch, there's a show here in the States called The Daily Show. It's a political show, but it's very much a comedy. They spoof the news. And it's funny because I actually get the real news, but it's in a much more entertaining fashion. So I like that because I get the news, kind of. And but it makes me laugh as opposed to the regular news here, which is just dreadful.
Yeah, the idea of spoofed silly news is something that appeals to me as well. Yeah. So just finally, Dave, someone is, you know, thinking of doing a podcast. What would be your, I don't know, your three top bits of advice to someone considering starting a podcast?
Well, number one, you have to figure out who's going to listen to this. Mm. And that you just have to have a target to hit. And because that's going to help you develop your content. And, you know, I always say, figure out who that is. And the clearer you can make that picture, the better it's going to be. And then the second question is you have to ask yourself, okay, why am I starting a podcast? Because if you can't answer the why, you're never going to make it through the how. So maybe it's you want to be seen as an expert, or maybe you just want to get the word out. Maybe you're trying to get the word out about some sort of, you know, global warming or some sort of movement that you want to get the word out on. So figure out who you're talking to, figure out why you want to podcast. And then I always tell people, record a couple. It doesn't matter if it's a big fancy microphone. It could, you know, dust off the cassette deck and just record yourself talking, because I think you'll find that number one, it takes more time. I usually tell people there's a 4-to-1 ratio. If you want to do a 1-minute podcast, it's going to take 4 minutes. If you're going to do a 15-minute podcast, it's going to take an hour. And a lot of times people are like, well, that's crazy. If I talk for 5 minutes, there's my podcast. And I would say, yeah, but you had to figure out what you're going to talk about. And then you recorded it. Maybe you do some editing, and then you have to throw it on your website. And by the time you do that, your 1-minute podcast took 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So I always say, keep that in mind, you know, record a couple so you can see how much it's going to be, then determine how long your podcast episode should be. Because some people will say, you know, I'm going to do an hour-long podcast once a week. And I'm like, hold on a second, go record an hour-long podcast. Because an hour-long podcast, that's a lot of work. Yeah. And so by knowing who you're going to talk to, and then why you're getting into it, and then actually, you know, doing some sort of test so you can make an informed decision on how often do I want to do a show? How long do I want it to be? That'll give you a clear picture. And then from there, you know, step four would be, of course, come to the School of Podcasting. So.
Well, which brings us very nicely to my final question, which is, how can our listeners find out about Dave Jackson and the School of Podcasting?
There you go. Just go to schoolofpodcasting.com. I've got over 400 episodes that are all free there that you can listen to. And we talk about all things podcasting, from, you know, planning your show to what kind of gear to get and how to promote it. And in some cases, how to make money. And I interview other people that are doing podcasts and things like that. So yeah, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com.
Fantastic. Well, Dave, thank you so much for your insights. I'm hoping that will spur people on that have been on the cusp of thinking about starting a podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. This has been great.
And to all our listeners, thank you for listening. It's sitevisibility.com/impodcast, which is where you'll find us on the web. If you've got questions, send them to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. If you want to call us and leave a message, it's +44 1273 256 150. And of course, you'll find us on iTunes, and we love reviews and ratings, as I'm sure Dave does.
Absolutely.
So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Dave, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.